Good morning. Called our conference committee on House File 3800, Senate File 3223 to order. This morning, both the House and the Senate are going in at 11 a.m. So my plan, Chair Murphy, would be to present the House's counteroffer to the Senate offer and discuss it a little bit, and then recess to the call of the chair so that members can be in the House and the Senate and the bodies convene. So what we passed out this morning was the Senate offer to us with some ballpoint pen writing on it. And I figured it would be easier than creating a whole new document. We didn't want to accept your first two items, the redefinition of passenger automobile.
Right.
Our concern there was unintended consequences for changing that definition that might affect other areas of law. Special plates we're not fans of in the House, and so we propose to omit the sesquicentennial plates. We're okay, if everybody's okay, with the compromise approach on creating an Office of Pupil Transportation Safety rather than the dueling Olsen and Dabney provisions. We're okay with the canola hauling vehicles. We would be okay with booster seats if there is an exception that continues in law for taxis. That stricken out language we would retain. We could take a primary seatbelt if we get the taxi exclusion for booster seats. We're okay with the reinstatement fee on controlled substances. We're okay with the report on Greater Minnesota Transit Services needs, but we wanted to add the report that Met Council would be doing on disability progress. And I think Mr. Burris has the page in mind site for that.
Madam Chair and members, on the side-by-side summary, it's page 11. In the language, it's page R80, section 70 in the House, section 110 in the Senate.
We're okay with the what seems to be a technical sort of agency provision. The repealers, we were clear on repealing the veterans plate surcharge and the household goods provision that becomes obsolete because of the other changes in the law, but we were not sure if the school bus driver education provision was still controversial or if that was merely a technical change. So if that's merely a technical change to conform to something, we're all right with that. We appreciate your willingness to take DIMRA. The changes to Chapter 152, we're okay with taking all of those changes. And those are changes to Chapter 152 that the legislature desires. My understanding is that there are also changes to Chapter 152 that the administration desires. And we propose in the spirit of bipartisan compromise that if we're going to put our Chapter 152 fixes in, that we put the Chapter 152 fixes in that MnDOT and Department of Finance would like. And so that would be number 15 on page 2. And then we have no opinion on the transit taxing district. We would like to see provision number 14 go no further. The design build language, we're open to further discussions. We would like the get your stuff back at 17 to be included. And then the railway walkway area, we prefer the House language. With regard to the UPA, we think all those provisions should travel in a separate bill as they currently are. With regard to the Lafayette Bridge, we agree that bridges built in the metropolitan area should be built to accommodate transit, and that it's more cost effective to do it when you're first building the bridge than when you're later retrofitting a bridge or having to consider building a new bridge. But we would like to make that language more general so it applies to other bridges in Lafayette. And then Representative Howison would like to offer the language that was vetoed in the bonding bill with regard to the statewide rail plan and the Duluth intercity rail. Then we propose a compromise on the felony language that wasn't in your offer. The House had a provision on behalf of the Department of Public Safety. It had a zero fiscal note with regard to criminal charges in the situation of people making decals that were falsified, and we know that there was a surcharge provision in the Senate language that wasn't in the House language. We thought that would be a fair compromise to put those together. And then finally, we did not want to do the prioritization language because we were concerned that that could throw off some projects in other parts of the state to benefit certain numbers projects. And I would stand for any corrections by the House members or questions by the senators.
Madam Chair, one quick question. On page R38, starting on 35.19, there's a list of exemptions, and this is for the booster seats. There's a list of exemptions that are taxi, airport, limousine, bus, and I'm wondering if it's just the taxi exclusion you want or that whole host of exclusions there.
Mr. Chair, the House members are really specifically concerned about taxis.
Mm-hmm.
And airport limousines.
Mm-hmm.
The rental car exclusion, we wouldn't need that.
Well, Madam Chair, just speaking briefly on behalf of the Senate, we feel that there's going to be plenty of discussion about the need to have booster seats in taxis and other vehicles that provide transportation services, especially at the airport, and that, you know, to carve them out and make an exemption in there, we just have a lot of heartburn over that. We didn't propose, we struck that language on purpose, and that was to make, the law as uniform as possible. We feel very strongly about making sure that, those kids in that class that we're talking about are in the proper belted piece of equipment, whatever that might be.
Madam Chair, you want me to pass this off?
Madam Chair, and Ms. Jarzowski, I believe, has a couple other questions here as well.
Madam Chair and Representative Portman, or Senator Murphy, excuse me, I was wondering, when you were talking about the felony in exchange for the Senate surcharge, we were wondering what Senate surcharge specifically you were referring to.
Ms. Jarzowski, I don't know where they are in here, but the felony piece was a piece relating to the, right now, I believe it's a misdemeanor to create a false decal indicating that you're a truck inspector and that a truck meets a certain weight. But there is a really extraordinary incident where one individual contracted with their local newspaper to print hundreds of these and pretended as though he were authorized to issue these decals as though these trucks were complying. And the Department of Public Safety would like to have stronger enforcement options in that type of a situation. The surcharge language was in the Senate. I believe the League of Minnesota Cities was working with Senator Ma, sort of a truth in taxation piece, and so much of your speeding ticket these days is actually a tax that goes into the general fund. The idea was to put some sort of information on the ticket that makes clear to a person that when they're getting that ticket, they're paying a tax also. Senator Olsen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I think that's important legislation because there's some unscrupulous DOT inspectors that will sticker a vehicle with a DOT inspection sticker that doesn't meet the standard. And so I think addressing, that is a crime is important. And there's also people out there that will get an inspection and pull the tires off and put the old tires back on. I mean, there's things going on all the time with people trying to work around these things, and anything we can do to keep these trucks safer on the road, I think, is important.
And I believe one of the trucks that was involved with fake inspections and getting a fake decal was involved in a fatal accident, and so it's really a safety issue, public safety issue.
And Madam Chair, on point 18 in regards to railway walkway and the trespass language, we're not going to dive on our sword on the trespass language, but we would sure be interested in hearing or seeing some language in regards to the Walkway Safety Act or any thoughts that the House may have on that.
Senator Murphy, we prefer the House language. I know Representative Hornstein worked really hard on this with the railroad representatives and with the union representatives, and I believe Representative Hornstein felt that both sides had come a long way, and nobody's getting what they want in the House language. But we did have a concern in the House after having the bill presented to us that there is a serious safety concern by the employees and that they really tried to work with the railroad. But when you're talking about walking alongside railroad tracks and there being obstructions causing people to fall, that was a safety issue that we wanted to take action on in the House.
Mm-hmm. And Madam Chair, in regard to the design build, what was the House's thoughts on design build?
Chair Murphy, we would prefer to have continued conversations with you about what approach this committee would like to take with regard to design build. I know the administration has problems with parts of design build, maybe not all of it. I don't know in what regard the House and Senate language was identical and what sort of compromise discussions have happened since each of these bills passed off the House and Senate floor. But we're certainly open to having more conversations about design build. I know that Representative Kalin feels very strongly that the design build language should be in the bill. Mm-hmm. And so we'd like to give serious consideration to including that. But I know that you were working on this also, so you might have a better read on what sort of compromise is possible with the administration.
Well, in regards to design build, Mr. Zosky does have an amendment here prepared that kind of takes into some of the ideas that we've talked about in the committee over the past few days, and we'll give you a copy of that before we head out of here, and maybe this afternoon we can have a little discussion on that and then get the department up here and talk some more about design build.
The same was true of the transit taxing district. We're not sure where you are on that language. Somebody representing the suburban opt-outs brought to my attention that there's language at R81 that may be non-controversial pertaining to the transit taxing district. I think we'll have to take a look at that. It would allow the opt-outs to provide service outside the transit taxing district area and would in particular accommodate the Cedar Avenue busway service. However, I'm not sure if that provision is tied up with the other provisions on transit taxing district, and I'm not sure what's traveling separately, either in the UPA bill or somewhere else regarding that.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you. A little bit of information about that. That does have to do with service that's provided as a function of funding that's received through the UPA. But they're not entirely independent or separate from each other. It does raise those policy questions that we discussed the other day, so we would probably have to noodle over it a little bit more, particularly in light of the administration's position, the action that Lakeville City Council might take tonight, et cetera. So it's worth surfacing kind of all those kind of different conversations that are occurring in one presentation.
I think Senator Dibble touched on an important part. My conversations with the Met Council is that they're negotiating with several communities, not only Lakeville, and trying to get them to buy into this taxing district. And you know, we should probably wait and see what happens tonight. And I see the representatives from Met Council are shaking their heads in the affirmative.
Senator, I don't know what the Senate schedule on the floor is today, but there's two possibilities that could occur in the House. We're going in at 11 a.m. We're breaking to caucus the tax bill. We are supposed to reconvene at 12:30 to take up the tax bill, but I don't know if there's a possibility that we would not reconvene at 12:30, but instead recess to the call of the chair and give all conference committees more time to work, and then convene later in the afternoon. I think that's a slimmer possibility, but so when we do recess to the call of the chair, I can't really give you a very good guess as to when we might be able to come back in.
Madam Chair, so what you're saying is that you expect over 100 amendments on the House floor?
Senator Murphy, our budget bills and our tax bills, and even such simple items as rules debates, have taken generally a lot longer than a person could think possible.
I understand. Well, Madam Chair, I think that we've pretty well got our answers, questions answered, or something like that. It's too early on Monday. I need another pot of coffee. And we'll look forward to our discussions this afternoon.
Thank you. The committee's in recess. The call is here.